All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our fourth live call. Time is sure flying. Hope everybody had a great 4th of July weekend. Certainly did. Went up north where it's about 15, 20 degrees cooler than here. So that was pretty nice. Probably similar to the weather you guys get every day. So what we're going to do today is start out the way we have most of the other calls. We're going to do a little review of what you've done since last time. We'll get into the last couple sections that we haven't covered yet. Primarily, we'll be talking about the objection section and resistance, and then also wrapping up the call, setting up the next action, which is a relatively short section. And then what we're going to do is you guys are going to do a little teaching of the program as we review everything that we've covered up to this point. Okay, so let's get started here. What I'd like to do is hear from each of you, specifically what you did, what you worked on since our last call last week. And if you had some specific scenarios, that would be great. So who'd like to start us out?
I'm gonna leave off. So, this is Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
So lastly, I just kept building on what we had done previously, really focusing in on the quality of my to be able to get the direction I wanted. I also adjusted my email slightly based on what you had sent over. I took some of the pieces that I liked, and then some of the other ones, I kind of melded the two together. It's very much so in the short run, so I don't know if I'm noticing a larger or difference at this point in time in response rates, as it has only been about a week, and typically I leave it for about a month to 2 months before I make any judgment as far as whether it actually is working better or may need to revert back to the other. So those are the two changes I made, is just to continuously focus on the questions as well as modifying the email to improve response rates.
Okay, great. So would you mind sharing with us what you have as far? Do you have it with you? Your email?
No, unfortunately, I do not. I'm not in front of my computer, and okay. I did not print out a copy, so I apologize.
All right. Would you mind if I shared it? Because I have it here.
Yeah, fire away.
Okay. All right. So, so Bobby had sent me, and Matt did as well, a copy of an email. And you said that this is usually used after your first attempt to call to an office, but not being able to speak to a decision maker, influencer, and having some response, but more is always better. Any advice, greatly appreciate it. So this was the before. This is what Bobby had sent. So thank you for being a client of Zest Anchors. I'm the new account representative for the practice. As I'm sure you've heard, we recently launched our new locator, our TX abutment, and expanded our chairside line of overdenture-related products. I'd like to set up a brief phone conversation to learn about the practice and our current promotions. Is there a time that works best for you? So I had sent this back, and actually I had replied to Matt first, but this was very similar to what I had suggested to Matt. And what I suggested changing was, first of all, at the beginning, thanks for being a client of Zest Anchors, which I didn't change. And I changed the next line from I'm the new account representative for the practice to I'm your personal resource here at Zest. And then I added to that, I'll let you know about promotions and help you with any orders. And the reason I change it to that is that if we just simply say, hey, I'm your account representative, that really doesn't mean a whole lot to them. So my thinking here is let's add a benefit to it, which is I'll let you know about any promotions and help you with any orders. And that's really what they care about more than your title, right? So then I added, or actually just kind of tweaked it a little bit. And I said, we recently launched our new locator, RTX abutment, and expanded our chairside line of overdenture-related products. And here's what I added, that other dentists have found to be very, very beneficial in helping them too. And then I suggest that you fill in the blank there with whatever the benefit or result might be. And then I tweaked it to, if we could get on a brief 5-minute call, I'd like to ask a couple questions and share some information about some options that you might get some great value from. I changed that from, like I said, a brief conversation to learn about the practice and our current promotions. So here, what we're doing is we're letting them know that we might have something here that could be of some potential value, and we're creating curiosity, which is really what we're trying to do. And then at the end, I put, could you please hit reply and let me know which of these times would work for you? And then I suggest giving a choice of 3 different times. And I suggest that those times would be based on any social engineering that you do when you're talking to the front desk person or an office manager, finding out when the doctor might have some personal time, if they come in early, if they're staying late, if they have a lunch time, and then plan those times accordingly. And then I suggest ending with, or if there's a better time, just please let me know that as well. So those were my suggestions there. And in any thoughts on that?
So I ended up leaving in, as I'm sure you heard, because what that does is it implies a bandwagon, like all the other dentists know. So there's going to create curiosity as to why they don't know, and everybody else is in the know. So I left that in. And then, hold on, give me 1 second. And then I did like the part where you talk about what I do as the account rep as opposed to what it is. Mm-hmm. So I did keep that change in there. But I did that, and then I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, and I was trying to jot down notes, but and then I think the second part after that I left in, and like between the main body and the time frames.
Okay. All right.
Talking about how to find that beneficial.
All right. So overall, here's my main point on emails. I mean, a lot of sales reps use email as what they think is their selling tool. I'm not saying you guys are doing that, but my feeling is that the email should complement your conversations and not give the entire story. Because if we give the entire story, then there's no reason for them to speak with you. And if we have too much in there that's product related, then they feel that the phone call is just going to be a pitch. And my feeling is that the email really should accomplish the same thing as a good voicemail, and that is create some curiosity for them to want to speak with you. And so it complements your conversation, as well as it again piques that curiosity so that they're thinking, I wonder what that is. That sounds like that's of some interest. This doesn't sound like the typical sales pitch. So keep that in mind whenever you guys are writing your emails there. And likewise, with a follow-up email, I always suggest an email after a call where you summarize what happened during the call and what's going to happen next. So it's really an extension of the wrap-up, which we're going to go through here, which is the last section on the call itself. Okay. All right. So who'd like to go next?
I guess I will. This is Matt. I've been working on not dumping information via email after not getting a doctor. So I've just basically, when they say, is there anything that you can send over, I'll say, well, I have too much information to send, and I don't know exactly what pertains to the doctor, so I still need to ask a few questions in order to determine what would be adequate or beneficial to the doctor. And sometimes I'll manage to get some information just from the person I'm speaking to actually figure out what it is and gain some more valuable information. Still not getting the doctor with that approach, but am often, instead of me sending an email with just a blanket of stuff, hoping that something applies, I'm leaving messages instead.
Okay.
For the doctor. Yeah.
All right. So, but you are going for the ask, right? You're asking for the doctors. It's not working all the time.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. And again, I understand that we're not going to get to them all the time, but if we can salvage something on every call, and again, my suggestion here is let's engage that person who is answering the phone or talk to an office manager. Because again, when they're saying, oh, just send some information or they're busy, that is an attempt to get salespeople off the phone, and it normally works. So if you're doing what Matt's doing, and that is engaging that person, asking questions, and I always suggest the transition. Well, matter of fact, one of my goals is to provide some information to the doctor. I want to make sure that what I do send would be relevant. Matter of fact, you could probably help me out in the meantime. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Now we can engage them. So that does several things. One is it gets us some good information, and also it sets us apart from most of the other people who are not doing it. And in some cases, you may be going over their head with technical questions where they may realize that, well, maybe this person does need to speak with the doctor. So several things that we're attempting there. So if we're doing all those things, we're enhancing our chances of actually getting through. Is it going to work every time? No, nothing works every time. All right. So, Stephen.
Yeah, hey, Art. Sorry, I missed last week. Was out on vacation. But what I've been doing well, I think, or what I've at least been using a lot of is the Module 8, really, so leaving no doubt for the sale, you know, that you're asking for it before you hang up. And then the no blue elephants in the room, I think, applies a lot to what I was doing in the past as well. What's something that could be interesting to me may not be interesting to them. And then just overall, just being assertive when, in the sense that not always asking for the doctor, but trying to get as much as I can out of whoever I'm talking to. Because, like as you said in the past, they could have plenty of viable information.
Okay. All right, good. So before we get started here with what I'm going to present, any other questions, comments, success stories on anything that we've covered up to this point?
I do have a question. I wanted to know what kind of success Bobby's having with the email that he's using now compared to the previous version.
I would say in like the first time I've only been using it for about a week, there's not a large enough sample size to be able to tell, but it seems to be fairly on par with what I was previously. I haven't noticed an increase or a decrease, but obviously some weeks are better than others as far as response rate. So I think that in a few weeks I should have a better understanding of whether that it is helping or what actual effect it's having.
Okay. All right. So, Mary, I see you're on the call. I've got you muted right now. I had you off before, but it seemed like we were getting some noise there. I'm going to unmute you there. Mary, are you there?
I sure am. Can you hear me okay?
I can. You want us to put you back on mute and or just want to leave it open?
No, if you've got background noise, you can just go ahead and put me on mute. That'll be
okay.
Fine.
All right, good. If you want to jump in, I'll look at the screen occasionally. Just go ahead and raise your hand on the screen there.
And, okay, will do.
Okay, super. All right. Okay, so here's what we're going to do for the next couple of minutes. I want to finish up the modules here, hit some of the high points. And we left off after the commitment phase with the objection, resistance, and objection module. And if you guys remember, one of my big points on objections is that, first of all, one of the best ways to deal with objections is to prevent them from coming up in the first place. Most salespeople create more objections than were ever there in the first place by talking too much and pitching things that the prospect or customer is not interested in. So if we can greatly minimize them by only talking about what they're interested in. But when we do get them, I like to approach it from the perspective of going through a process where we're going to ask questions as opposed to goofy objection rebuttal mode. So the goofy objection rebuttal is when we hear an objection, you're supposed to come back with, well, I understand how you feel this customer. Many others have felt the same way, but after they found how great our product were, they decided to go with us. And of course that is just ridiculous. And all that's doing is telling somebody they're wrong. And everybody likes to be told they're wrong, correct? No, not at all. What people do then is that they simply strengthen their belief, even if it's irrational, and then they close their mind. So we need to take the opposite approach, which is take somebody through a process where they first doubt the belief that they have. And really, I mean, if you put yourself in that position, think about a belief you have right now, whether it be moral, social, a sports team, certainly political, a lot of that going on right now. So if you've got a very strong belief about something, if somebody just said, well, you're wrong, you should think the way I think, you should believe what I say, you know, we're not going to change our mind. The only way we would even consider that is by first thinking, well, maybe there's another way to look at it. And then once we start softening that position, we're in a much better frame of mind to actually accept some alternatives or different ideas. And the same thing is true with the buying process. So I had you guys go through the doubt creating process. And I had you do that exercise there. And what I'd like to do is go through that with you all and ask you what you had come up with in that process. So I would assume that you have your workbook there with you, and we're on page 3 of module 10. And let's deal with some of the actual objections that you guys run into. So we can do this as a group. So one of you can volunteer, and we'll just go through that process. So the first step in that process, identify a common objection. So what's one of the common objections that you all run into?
I like the way it feels in my hand. I've used it forever.
So they like their current product.
Okay, so the product that they're using now, they like the way that it feels in their hand. Okay. So now the next step in the process is, why does somebody say that? Okay, now obviously there could be a real obvious answer to that, but there may be other reasons behind that. And my reason for this whole process is, when we hear an objection, we're not necessarily hearing the reason behind that objection. Normally, we're hearing the symptom of a problem. So what we want to do is we want to figure out what is the real problem here? Because once we know the real problem, then we're able to address it. So let's brainstorm. So what are all the possible reasons somebody might have for saying that?
They might actually like their product.
Okay. But let's even take that a little bit further. Why do they like that product?
Because it's performed for them in the past.
Okay.
Because it's an appropriate price point for them.
Okay. They don't perceive something as actually being broken, right? So if it's not broken, why would I even consider something else? You got a comfort level with something that they've been using forever, and maybe they're resistant to change.
Yep, I put down that they're scared of change.
Yeah, great one. Yeah, scared of the unknown, right? Okay, so the status quo. What else?
I don't have anything else.
Okay, yeah. So those are the big ones. Now, you can see kind of different variations. Even on the surface, somebody says, well, I'm happy with what I have right now, or I like the way I feel it in my hands, or I like the way I feel it feels in my hands. There could be different stances that they're coming from. Or, I mean, here's another one. It might, that just might be a smokescreen, right? Because maybe they're not even aware of, they haven't even given any thought to anything else that could be out there that may be better. So that's the easy answer, okay? So number three, what we want to do is we want to ask some questions that might get somebody to start thinking that, there might be a better way, okay? So what first initial questions might you ask?
Prior to using the product that you're using now, what product were you using?
Okay.
What and then what made you change?
Good. So now what we're trying to get at is, well, you tell me, what are you looking for with that question?
I'm trying to get them back to the point of remembering why they made a change, whatever emotion that may be, and then try to elicit that same emotion and getting them to buy our new product.
Okay. All right, good. Okay. Any others?
I guess just a, kind of a different way of saying it, but I just, but when you say X, does that satisfy all that you're looking for in that type of product?
Okay. All right, I can go with that.
Honestly, for those two, I think what I usually say is I try to find out how Bobby and Matt mix those two questions together in the sense that, hey, obviously you've used that product for a long period of time, but are there any flaws in it that you would like to change?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of the other things that I jotted down that I forgot to mention is how long have you been using that product?
Okay.
Because if they haven't been using it that long, they can't be that scared to change.
Interesting. Okay. So then that could lead you back into, okay, what did you use before that? What caused you to change? So now that's telling you that, yeah, they might be open. Okay. Now let's be prepared. If somebody has been using it for a long time, they may be resistant to change. What might you ask them now that it might get them thinking that there might be a better alternative out there? How about during that time, what other products have you evaluated? Or what new technology have you taken a look at? See, what I'm trying to do there is to get them thinking that, well, geez, I really haven't tried anything else. And then I might ask, well, how familiar are you with? And then again, you can use this for virtually any product, and then you can fill in the blank with something that's going to cause them to say, well, I'm really not. Okay. Now what we can do is we can be hinting at some of the possible benefits of what you have. So you see this, I mean, there's no one answer to any of these, but the goal is to get somebody talking. And the only way that we can get somebody talking is by asking questions, not by talking at them. I mean, all day long, we can come up with our reasons for why somebody should switch or consider your product, but people are only going to change their mind when they feel like it's their idea as opposed to somebody that is preaching at them. So again, another one of those exercises, kind of similar to the question generator, where I would suggest that you do this for all the objections you run into and then take it deep. And again, we just barely scratched the surface here. So when you think of your questions, think about what are the possible answers and where am I going to go with those answers? All right. So in the rest of the section, I give you a bunch of examples of messaging there. And I would suggest that you get comfortable with those, particularly with the early resistance that you hear in a call. What I talk about on page 10 is the resistant reflex response, where very early in a call, somebody says, yeah, we're good, we're all set. And again, there's not really anything behind that. And people use those because it's an easy way to get somebody off the phone. So as I talk about in the program, my process there is simply coming back with a softening statement such as, hey, not a problem, or yeah, I hear that a lot, that, hey, that's okay. And then just simply ask a question. That's called a pattern interrupt. So but when you ask a question, people are conditioned to answer the question, and now we're getting away from whatever that initial resistance might be. And the thing here is that so many salespeople, right at that point when they get that initial resistance, they just they give up and they hang up and say, okay, well, keep us in mind, and they look at that as a failure, as opposed to just making another attempt to keep that person on the phone. Okay, so thoughts on that section, comments, anything that you guys have done as it relates to objections?
I've used, I understand where you're coming from, but just out of curiosity, what would be your hesitation towards this product? Mm-hmm. And I'll get a response towards, we're just not interested at this time, or, we're perfectly fine with what we're using, something along the lines of that. So I guess, is there a better way of phrasing that, or should I not even phrase that at all?
And what I'm doing here is whenever I hear something, I always look at what are the possible negative responses? How might somebody resist that? And obviously that those are some things that you're hearing. Our goal there is to get them answering kind of the way we'd like them to answer, right? So how about this question? Well, let me ask you, doctor, what's your process for reviewing new technology or new products?
Okay. I like that.
So that is kind of the assumptive problem question. So what we're doing is we're just assuming that they do review new things. Now I just want to know, what is your process for that? Now you get them talking, and then, of course, our next question would be, may I be included in that? Can I give you a call back? So now what we're doing here is we're keeping the door open, or you might be able to continue the conversation right now. So instead of you just reaching a dead end, now we've got somebody talking a little bit.
Sure. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this as well. When you're talking to somebody who says we're comfortable where we're at, he put that, okay, I can understand where you're coming from. I think a statement like that reaffirms their stance of not wanting to try something. So we should not necessarily state reaffirming statements to behaviors that we want to change, because we're reaffirming the behavior that we're trying to change. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, where are you hearing this in a call?
I don't know, Steven.
So probably after the going over the products or whatever it may be, we're not really say whatever your pitch is, not even a pitch, but just kind of go into the picking and weaving of what they use, and then, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. We do have this type of line. We have X product. This is what it does. Okay, well, we're okay right now. We're not really interested in that. Okay, I understand where you're coming from, but and then I would say, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but out of curiosity, what would be your hesitation towards trying something new?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's two schools of thought on that. And again, what you just said there is that if we just simply say, I understand where you're coming from, we're reaffirming that their stance. The way I look at that is more of a softening statement that helps them to lower their guard, because if somebody presents an objection to us, they're more in resistant frame of mind, and I want somebody to lower their guard. So if somebody says, hey, we're all good, and you don't necessarily have to say, I understand where you're coming from, again, my suggestion is, hey, that's okay, not a problem. I hear that from a lot of doctors. Then what I want to do is completely shift gears and then go into questioning mode. So let me ask you, what is your process when you do evaluate new technology or new products? So now again, I've gotten their mind off of that resistance, and now I have them, I presented something concrete that I want them to react to. So the key here again is being prepared with a specific question that is designed to not get you another negative answer, but instead getting them talking about something more of substance.
Gotcha. No, I like that, like, okays, or I hear what you're saying, but as far as, like, directly reaffirming that was my only question, but you definitely answered it. Thank you.
Okay. All right, good. All right. So let's go into the next section as far as the call itself. It's really pretty simple, and that's setting up the next action. And I maintain that really the success of any follow-up call is dependent upon the way that you ended the previous call. I mean, too many times somebody will say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll send you out some stuff and I'll give you a call next week. Oh, okay, yeah, go ahead. And then that they call back and say, well, I'm following up on the stuff I sent you. Did you get it? Did you read it? Oh, you didn't. Okay, well, let me call you back. Or worse yet, we're not able to get them on the phone. So what we want to do is, if there's going to be a follow-up call, I'm on page one here of module 11, we definitely need to answer these questions. So why are we following up? And really the reasoning there is that they're going to do something between now and the next call. So getting some type of commitment that they're going to do something. They're going to review your material. They're going to speak with somebody else, the other doctor in their practice. Again, they're doing something. And what we're doing then at the end of this call is we're simply summarizing what happened on this call, their need, or again, their pain or their problem, what we're both going to do, and if you can, setting up a specific time for when we're going to speak next and what's going to happen on that call. And then you're writing your email. So that actually is your email. After you summarize all that, you get off the call. I do suggest putting that in the email, what they're going to do, what you're going to do. And here's another suggestion for email. I suggest another email the day of your conversation with another reminder of what was in the previous email. So now you've had two email touches with what they said they're going to do. And that helps to enhance your chances of actually having a good conversation and then doing what they said they were going to do. Now, again, is this going to work every time? No, nothing works every time. But what we found is that, again, it enhances our chances. And this, the sales game is all about maximizing our chance for success. Because if we can even increase our percentages by a little bit, that could be exponential increase in sales and results. And then finally, putting all that in your notes and then getting your graduate degree in sales here. Every call is a learning opportunity. And if you're not asking yourself those two questions at the end of a call, we're squandering that learning opportunity. We really don't learn from something while we're doing it. We learn when we break down the film afterwards, so to speak. So we just give ourselves a moment to think, well, what did I like there? So reinforce it. But then also, what would I have done differently? So if there was a challenge, if there was a question that you didn't answer correctly, if there was a place where you stumbled, think about that and then figure out, well, what am I going to do next time? So what will I do on the very next call? And geez, think about the sheer numbers of learning opportunities that you guys have over the course of a day, a week, a year, your career for that matter. So that's why I say you can get your graduate degree in about a year if you just take advantage of the opportunities that are present there for you. So short section there. Questions, comments, thoughts, or actually let me ask you, what were some of your action steps after that section? What did you commit to do and what are you doing?
planting a seed.
Planting the seed for the next fall. Okay, good. Give me an example of that.
So if I was wrapping up with an ordering assistant or a doctor, find out briefly of what type of products to use. And all right, doctor. Well, I appreciate the time that you took to speak with me today. I just want to let you know, after what you've told me, I can see that we do have some things that offer some great benefits for your practice and ultimately could cut you down on chair-side time. I'm going to shoot those over to you in an email, and then within a two-week time period, I'll follow up with you around the same time. Does that work for you? So you can discuss the products that we were talking about. Something along the lines of that. Just so that way they have it there, and after I send the follow-up email, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about, so that way when the next call comes, it's already pre-planned.
Okay. All right, good. Sounds thorough. All right.
I think one of the things that I do, but I've put an additional focus and expanded on, is not to lose interest after the sale. So a lot of the products that we're selling into these practices, they've never used them before. They've used a lot of our products, but the ones that we're focusing on, they have not used before. So when I'm taking the order, I ask them when they're anticipating on using the product. And then once they give me a time frame, I'm going to let them know that I'm going to reach out to them in that time frame just to hear their feedback. And then also reiterate to them that if they end up using it beforehand, just to please reach out with any feedback that they may have. And so this is going to accomplish a few things. Is one, if they had a great experience with it, it's going to be easier to turn them on to other products that we have to offer in our chairside line. And number two, if for some reason they were dissatisfied with the product, we can either find out if it was an error in technique, or B, if maybe they did get something that wasn't up to par with our product, but then we can correct the problem. And then a lot of times, some of your best customers come with how you fix a situation that's less than desirable to begin with. So it's definitely something that I've taken an initiative on, just to make sure that I'm following up with everyone who's used a product that they haven't used before.
Okay. Good. Sounds thorough. All right. So here's what we're going to do to summarize the sales process itself, everything that you guys have gone through over the last few weeks. And I'm a big believer in, we really don't know something until we can teach it, until we can actually explain it to somebody else. So here's what I'm going to have you guys do here. I'm going to assign you some modules, and I'm going to give you a few minutes to prepare here. And then for about the last 15 minutes, I'm going to have you guys teach it to us. Okay? So I'm going to put you on the spot. So here's what we're going to do. So I've got a list of you guys here. And Stephen, you're going to go through the modules on the first couple steps of the call, the pre-call planning and pre-decision maker conversations. And then Bobby, I'm going to have you do interest creating opening statements and effective questioning. So you're going to get the big guns there. And then Matt, I'm going to have you do the recommendation, commitment, and closing. We just covered resistance and objections and setting up the next action, so you can touch on that, but I really want you to focus on sections 8, sales recommendation, and commitment and closing. Okay? So however you guys want to do this, what I would want you to do is to present the highlights of this, add your own twist to it, what you feel are the major points of that section. Pretend like you're going to be speaking to a new sales rep who maybe isn't as familiar with the process as you are. And again, I'm especially looking for you putting this into your own words and your examples. So how you've used it. Okay. But we're definitely looking for the key points in each of those areas. So I'm going to give you just maybe 2-3 minutes or so. I know it's not a lot, but hopefully you have this mastered because you've been through it already. You've been practicing it. And then once you're ready, Stephen, you'll be starting us out with your first two modules. So any questions on what I'm going to have you guys do here?
Nope, not necessarily on what you're going to have us do, but can you let me know what module numbers correspond? I know what you want me to do, but I want to make sure that I'm presenting the right information.
Yeah, so Stephen, you're doing modules 2 and 3, pre-call planning, pre-decision-making conversations. Bobby, you're doing modules 5 and 6, interest-creating openings, effective questioning. And then Matt, you're doing modules 8 and 9, sales recommendation, commitment, and closing.
And we're to present this information in a manner as if we're speaking to a new sales rep, not a new client, correct?
Right. Yeah. So you're teaching the sales process to us.
Thank you.
All right. So I'll give you a couple minutes here, and then Stephen, when you're ready, we'll just go ahead and get started.
we're ready on this end, Art.
All right, great. Stephen, start us out.
For pre-call planning, your smart intelligence. Basically, what you want to do is you want to put in detailed notes after every call. The more personalized and more tailored you are, the greater chances of speaking with the buyer at the end of the day. In order to go ahead and do that, you need to do your smart research. So what necessarily is the practice? Is it a periodontist? Is it a general dentist? How many people do they have in their practice? What exactly, if there's retirement homes around their practice, they have a blog, Facebook, anything that you could use to help kind of get your way into, you know, getting the customer into a friendly kind of take down their guard a bit. Just overall, situational, anything that's going on, as I mentioned, so if they have any blogs, any updates, any Twitter, anything like that, being able to apply that, if they've been recently involved with, I had someone that was actually recently involved with a 5K marathon, and each person donated X amount when they signed up to a cancer research. Just going ahead and talking about that, being personal, knowing kind of what the person you're talking to background is, using anything that you can on their website to your advantage to help ease loosen up the buyer or whoever may be talking to put yourself in a position to get to the person that you need to talk to at the end of the day. As far as your social engineering goes, don't ask for yourself, don't apply yourself, apply in the way that how can you help them out, I think is a huge asset and a huge factor of it. So preparing a script before you go ahead and call, hello, my name is X, I hope you can point me in the right direction, I'm looking for the person who places the order for overdenture implants and chairside products. Along with brainstorming the questions that you'd like to go ahead and ask the receptionist if you can't get to the buyer itself, which kind of goes into module 3 a bit, you know, going into your company, telling them your name, your justification statement, asking the right questions, and if you can't go ahead and get through to the buyer, use as much as you can to get out of whoever you're speaking with at that time. Because they're equally of value as the person who may be doing the buying. And then as far as going ahead, if you can't get through to that person and they get pass you along to a voicemail, make sure that you open up your mouth, speak effectively and efficiently, let them know exactly why you're calling, who you're calling for, what the reason is behind your call, and let them know that you will be following up with them at a later date versus just leaving your phone number, because in reality, chances are they're not going to call you back. So if you give them a time and a date to go ahead and follow up on, at least they'll know that that's the exact time and date that you'll be giving them a call.
Okay. Going back to what you said about social engineering, so who are typically the best people within a practice to give you good information, and what titles of people would you be speaking with, and what type of information are they able to give you?
Specifically, obviously for us, we'd be looking for, you know, ordering assistants, head assistants, anyone that it uses their hands, the doctor itself. But like you said, I get a lot out of the receptionist because they actually can see what's coming in and out of the doors. One, two, they probably hear a lot of chatter that's going on in the back. So, I mean, it can really vary from multiple people in the office.
Okay. All right, good. Okay. Good, I like it. I've got a pretty clear understanding of what you're trying to present there. Does anybody have any questions for Stephen?
comments, concerns. I'll be here all day.
All right. Okay. Good job. Bobby, what do you have for us?
So the goal, once you're able to make it past the gatekeeper and you're speaking with the prospect, is to have a interest creating opening statement. And the reason for this is, one, you want to create a little bit of interest from that person, which is going to transition them from a defensive mindset to something that's a little bit more receptive. And that way you're going to get better responses to your questions and be able to transition them into the questioning phase of the phone call. In order to do this, there's a lot of work that really goes into it, a lot of the groundwork laid by Stephen in the social engineering. So first you want to introduce yourself, hi, my name is Bobby, and then some kind of connection like, oh, I saw on LinkedIn you went to Penn State, me too, great school, something of that nature. And then you want to kind of tell them what we do without giving them too many specifics. Hey, you know, we specialize in products that are going to cut down your chair time with your overdenture cases. A lot of the doctors that we've been working with have seen great results. And then basically what you want to do is get to the end of that, have them in a mindset where they want to learn more, and then immediately transition into the questions. Don't ask them if it's okay for you to ask them questions, transition directly into it. But before you do that, you also want to make sure that now is a good time. Did you have a brief moment? Did I catch you at a good time? Things of that nature, just to make sure that if they have something that's really pressing, that you're respecting their time, and if it's not a good time, they will be appreciative of that, and then you can follow up at a time that is going to be better for them. And then from there, chapter 6 is all about effective questioning. And so when you're developing the questions, which you have a good understanding of what they are prior to going into the call, you should have the end in mind. What is going to be the benefit of your product? And then how do you ask a question to lead them back to that benefit? And that's the section on the question generator. What is the benefit? What would actually make a benefit to them? And then what question is going to lead them through that thought process? And you're, of course, going to want to start out with very broad questions, then kind of hone in on the target that you find as they uncover. Now, it's important that although you might have a set number of calls or questions that you'd like to get through, that sometimes if they're talking, you don't want to interrupt them just to try to answer your question. If they're talking, you want to let them know that you're actively listening. And not necessarily transition to the next question right away, like, oh, tell me more, or that's interesting, please continue, or some of the examples that you have written down here. One that allows you, them to know that you're actually listening to them, paying attention, and they're going to more than likely open up. And the further that they open up might uncover the true issue that you would not have got if you had continued with your question. And it is very important that once you think that you've received as much information as you can from one question, to go ahead and transition directly into the next question. And pauses before and after questions are completely relevant and important, because it's going to allow the other person to maybe interject with something that they might not have added in the first place.
Okay.
And any that you get an answer that you don't quite understand, it's okay to ask them to clarify that. I don't understand what you mean. Do you mind expanding on that for me?
Okay. All right, good. You had a lot of material there. You had mentioned that question generator. Could you give us an example of that, starting with the left side with the benefit, and then work your way across?
So the benefit is our soft reline material is really long lasting. Why is that a benefit? Is because a lot of the other products change the integrity of the reline. It gets harder, it gets flakier, and it doesn't last as long. And so the question would be is, how often are you having to redo your soft reline? And so they're going to tell you an answer, which is more than likely going to, and they're going to answer the question in a number that's more than likely shorter than ours. And then you can further ask questions like, what does that mean to the practice? Is it more time? Is it more money? Like, how is this costing you money? And then you can transition into the benefit of ours being one of the longest lasting on the market and how it's going to benefit them by reducing the cost and chair time that they have to spend with each patient.
So that's really the benefit. So long lasting, which means, fill in the blank again, what does that mean?
Spend less time and money and be able to see other patients.
Okay. So this is me talking now. I went back and reviewed the call from last week. I just want to be clear that, I mean, this is like sales 101. Whenever we talk about the benefit, keep in mind it's the result. So one thing to always do as a test, whenever you're making your recommendation, you're talking about product, make sure you're always saying, so what that means to you, doctor, is this. The thing is that as salespeople, many times we are so close to our product that sometimes we gloss over what it's actually going to do for someone. Don't be afraid of being obvious, because what is obvious to us probably isn't as obvious to them. So even though you might repeat it 20 times in a day, they're hearing it for the first time. And even if you do repeat it to them a couple times, what happens with repetition? It reinforces it in their mind, right? Okay. All right, good. Nice job, Bobby. So, Matt, what do you have for us?
Okay, so as up until this point, you've already built rapport and you have a good understanding of what this person is looking for. And as you transition towards your close, you want to basically package that rapport and knowledge that you have together and customize it into a smooth transition that pertains to this particular individual. And it also reinforces that you have been actively engaged in this phone call. And it's not just going to be a thank you for that information straight to a hard close. So you're kind of letting them down easy while leading them by the hand into a nice sale recommendation. And by showing them that you've been listening and are aware of their needs and concerns, you're going to basically customize everything in a way that they are going to in a way that reads well to them, and a very good way of doing that that puts them even at ease even more is by demonstrating their situation by way of an example that removes them from the current situation, but also contains the same characteristics of what you're trying to accomplish. And by removing that individual from your actual sales pitch, it kind of makes the light of the situation, puts them at ease, and then kind of sets them up towards the next transition, which is asking if they want to move forward. And that's basically, at that point, it'd be a waste of your time and their time, because you have been on the phone for some period of time and have gotten them to open up to you, and without asking specifically if they want to move forward with this product, you will have wasted everybody's time. So, I mean, your ask module, I mean, it's plain and simple. You just have to ask. I mean, there are a million ways to ask for the close. You just have to make sure you do it.
Okay. So you're saying that it's a lot of it has to do with your attitude.
No. You mean with how you ask?
No. Just your attitude towards asking, right? Being comfortable doing it.
Don't even need to be comfortable. You just have to do it.
Okay. That's right. If you're not comfortable, you got to force yourself to do it till you get comfortable. All right. Interesting way of putting it. Okay. All right. Any questions of Matt about anything that he said or didn't say? Okay.
No.
Go ahead.
I don't think we did.
We said no.
All right. Okay, good. Well, Katrina got off early, didn't, or got off easy, didn't she? All right, nice job, guys. So, I mean, really, as we go through this, I mean, obviously, we break the call up into parts and a very definite process. Although the person at the other end of the line would never know we're working from a process, because the key here, of course, is being smooth and being conversational. And we're never going to graduate from this process. It's always something that if you really want to reach your potential in sales, you will never ever stop studying the process and the techniques within the process and your messaging. Always striving to get a little bit better. We didn't talk about the motivation section. I would encourage you to go through that several times. That's why it's just audio. I would encourage you to download that, put it on your MP3 player, and it's not something that you have to listen through all the way through. I mean, I go back and I listen to that on a fairly regular basis, because we all need a dose of motivation. And I firmly believe that about of everything we accomplish, probably 80 to 90% of it is due to how we feel when we do it. I don't spend 80, 90% of the program on talking about motivation, because frankly, as I mentioned, I can't motivate you. Managers can't motivate you. Only you, bottom line, can motivate you. And the most successful salespeople I've ever been around are the ones that every day at the beginning of the day decide that they're going to have a good day, as opposed to the ones that look in and just kind of go through the motions all the time. So some suggestions for moving forward. You guys went through a lot of material here. You wrote down a bunch of action steps. One of the first things I would suggest you do is sit down and go through all your action steps and say, how well am I doing this right now? How well am I doing this? And then you'll likely have some more action steps that you want to work on and put into practice. And then what I would suggest you do is look at the areas where you feel you need to get a little bit better and focus on those, whether it be your opening, your questions, your voicemail. And I've got a ton of material for you in the course portal. We've got, if you haven't downloaded already, you've got my three books there, particularly the How to Sell More in Less Time with No Rejection, Volumes 1 and 2. In both of those books, all of the sections correspond to the different parts of the call. So if you're looking for more material on any part of that, simply go through there. And then also, you've got access to the back issues of our monthly newsletter. Actually, I don't have June up yet. We're going to get that up here in the next day or two. But those go back a number of years, and there's tons and tons of great material there as well. So I encourage you guys to take advantage of that. Plus, I'm talking to Beth about doing some more of these as time progresses here. So we're not quite sure exactly when that's going to be, but you haven't heard the last from me live either as well. So I'm looking forward to continuing to work with you guys. Also, moving forward, I don't make this offer to everybody, but like a couple of you did with your emails, if you have a specific question or situation that you'd like to run by me, feel free. Shoot me an email. Don't do one before every call. That might be a little excessive. But if you have something that you'd like me to take a look at, I'd be happy to help you out with that as well. And also, I'd like to hear your success story. So if you had a breakthrough, if you had something that worked extraordinarily well for you, something that you're proud of, let me know. And also what I like to do is I put those things in my newsletter as far as success stories and tips and something that's working. So with that, any final questions, comments, and anything at all on anything that we covered or even didn't cover?
Just want to say thank you.
All right. Well, you're certainly welcome. It's a pleasure working with you guys. I'm impressed with your team there, and I'm looking forward to great things, to hearing your success stories. This call will be going up in your portal, like all of them are, so you can go back and review those as well. So go out, guys. Finish out the week strong, and here's to your success.
Thank you.
Thank you, Art.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.